With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
So welcome down to this bonus episode of the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, everybody. In this episode, me and Guy are walking 18 holes to raise awareness and money for Mind Charity, which is a mental health charity. If you want to get involved, I'll put a donation link down below. You'll find out a little bit more about why we're doing this at the start of the podcast. Quick disclaimer. The audio on this podcast isn't brilliant, and the reason being, we're out on the golf course, so we've got wind, you've got outdoor factors. So bear with it. We've had to cut out probably about 5 minutes of really bad audio. We were out there for about an hour 13 minutes, so we've cut a little bit out of it, so there might be some weird jumps. But either way, sit back and enjoy this bonus exclusive episode of the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast. Welcome back to an exclusive version of the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast. I'm your host, Rick Shields, and we're out on location today with producer Guy. Hi. Now, if you don't quite know what's happening, we did a normal podcast earlier on this week, and now we are going to embark on a Walk 18 podcast, because we said we'd do it last week, and if you don't know what it is, basically through the month of February to raise awareness and money for mental health charity Mind, I'm taking my golf clubs out, putting them on the back and walking roughly 7,000 yards, which is a round of golf, so 4 miles, to raise money, raise awareness. Currently, as I'm filming this right now, we've raised 26 grand, which is amazing. Thanks so much, everyone that's contributed and shared it. And Guy said, well, next week, I'll come and join you. So we're at Marriott Worsley Park. As I say, we've just recorded the podcast down here, and then we are... I actually did this walk last week, Guy, and because of all the... There's a path that walks all the way around the golf course. It was actually 16 holes once I'd done all the paths. So we're going to start here on the third today and walk around to 18.
So it's not technically walk 18, but don't tell anyone.
Well, it is, because between holes and stuff. If you were to literally walk from tee to green on every hole, it would be roughly that. Third hole, name... people would know this one on a lot of the videos. We've filmed a lot of videos on here. Name the... What do you think the most famous video we filmed on this hole is?
We're going to set the scene first of the hole. So it's...
Stroke the next one. Yeah. It's the hardest hole in the golf course.
Quite a long par four. Off the very back tees, it's a super tight tee shot with trees left and right. You kind of can half bail out right, but there is a lot of trees down there early on. There's two videos that come to mind, and I'm going to say to you, Gold Driver, and I'm also going to say Straight Ball.
You've got one of them correct.
Is Straight Ball not right?
Straight Ball is correct.
Oh, it was Gold Drive was the first.
Which is really rare.
It is.
Like, we've hardly ever filmed any videos on the first tee, because obviously the first tee of a golf course is pretty busy. And somehow we managed to film Gold Drive. We went on the driving range first, and then we filmed it on the first hole. So I would say number one is definitely Straight Ball video. We did that on this tee. And then weirdly, one that stood out to me was when I played 18 holes and counted every shot, and a group let us through on this hole,
and I hit it right.
Oh, hit it the trees right. And then he tweeted me. I chipped out and hit the tree. It bounced out. I chipped it in front of the group. Anyway, I walked off with double bogey. I was playing through a group of four golfers, and one of them actually took a picture and tweeted me later. And I kept it in the video because it was a genuine double bogey. That's the one that stands out to me. I remember this tee when I used to play as a junior. I wasn't a member here, but I used to come here every now and again. I remember that tee just being the scariest tee, because when you could only hit it like 200 yards or probably not even that far, dead tight tunnel.
Yeah, that's the thing when you... I sometimes think that when I go back to golf courses now that I used to play as a junior, there were certain points where a tee shot was a monster if it got to said point. And now you go and play and it's like a 5-iron or a 4-iron or something. You can't believe the difference.
Yeah, it's mad. If you are listening to this as well, we're actually filming this as well. Matt, our new cameraman's filming this. So if you want to watch some of the bits of it, check out the second channel on Rick Shields Golf Show on YouTube as well, so you can see how cold we are. Because I've currently got 4 layers on my top, 2 layers underneath.
2 layers underneath?
I've got like tights on, what are they called?
Like long john things.
What are they called?
Underpants.
Well, effectively 3 layers then.
Talk to me about the shoes. Why have you gone for walking boots?
You like them?
I don't know really. It's just...
Well, there's a couple of reasons. One, because I feel like I'm walking instead of playing golf.
Yeah.
They keep my feet dry and they keep my feet warm.
Fair enough.
I have done it with trainers though. When I go in the streets normally... We're not going to get as many funny looks today, because when I've been doing it out on the streets of where I live, you do get some funny looks.
But it's almost worse here, because people think we're breaking the rules by playing golf.
Yeah.
So we're not going to get looks like that's random. We're going to be getting people looking at us thinking, what are those two idiots doing on the golf course with a set of golf clubs?
And we have got permission to walk around here today, so I can imagine somebody ringing up and complaining. So we've just walked the length of the first hole, and we've got effectively... 15 more to go.
You know what's doing my head in big time? This is a new bag that I've got, but it's exactly the same as my old bag. It's a black Nike bag, dead simple. Love it to bits.
Same bag?
I've got the same bag as you. But I can't get my straps how I like them, so I'm concerned that my right strap is too saggy. Which means I like my clubs being high up. It can't really make sense for me what I'm trying to say, but my clubs being high up.
You like your club head high.
Angled down. I'm not a fan of that. I think for me, it doesn't matter how good you are at golf or what clubs you've got. That's obviously not everybody can have the best clubs and stuff, but I'm very big on the presentation of the clubs. Yeah. So clubs in the right slots, driver obviously at the top and putter at the top, down to irons, down to wedges. Ideally, kind of quite clean. I know you're not the biggest fan of clean clubs, are you?
I kind of swap them before I clean them. <That's> not... No, no, I do like clean clubs. The only thing I don't like is really, really clean clubs. And then going into an important round of golf.
So, I've got tightly 200 irons. There's somebody coming now, so this could be awkward. I remember once you said that you thought these were chunky. Tell me that. You did.
Was I using blades at the time?
Possibly. But that is not a chunky iron, is it?
No. It's a nice looking iron. It's not my... You know what I don't like about it?
Go on.
It's slightly too rounded on the edges.
Yeah.
Like, slightly rounded here near the neck. So, guy's got Titleist T100s. Bar that, literally, that corner of the club is the only thing I don't like.
I'm not normally a massive fan of rounded club, but basically, the reason I've got these was I was, how old would I have been? Maybe in my early 20s. I had Titleist AP2 second hand, and I absolutely loved them. They were kind of small enough that they looked nice behind the ball, but not super unforgiving. And I actually bought them, believe it or not, second hand. They were half an inch longer and about 3 degrees upright. So I cut them down, got them bent. So they were kind of more like a standard set. And then when I worked for Nike, I obviously had to use Nike clubs. So the Nike Pro Combo irons, which again, I loved. But they were bigger, weirdly. They were still a kind of a player's iron, but quite chunky. So swap to these. The only downside to these, well, not downside to these, but to golf equipment, I can't see why I'd ever need to replace these, other than just fancy a new set.
Yeah, they are a nice looking set.
They're small enough, they're forged, they're quite traditional lofted. I think the pitching wedge is 46, which I always got the pitching wedge, so it's a couple of degrees stronger than traditional standard. But overall, I like them. So my full watts in the bag, start putter, work up to the big dog.
Okay.
Putter, I have got, actually one of your ones, but Spider X, tailor-made Spider X, which I must say I absolutely love. It's a copper version, which I'm not a fan of. The colour is a bit nasty, really. I would prefer that in black. The blue one's quite nice. I think the white one's quite good.
But you can get them all different colours now.
I think you can custom them as well. Yeah. I think it's the bigger one you can custom, I'm not sure, but I like it because it's really stable. It's actually not face balance, which you think it would be. It's like toe hang. Behind the look, it's when you stroke with this putter, it just feels like proper square. I like that feeling. Might look just something I've seen from a brand this year that's coming out, which I can't say just yet. It could take that out of the bag. I think you know what I'm talking about. It's a similar shape.
Oh, yeah.
Wedges, this is something I really need to do swap this year. And I don't want to at all, other than the fact the grooves are worn out. I've got two wedges, Nike, still in the bag, 58 degree and a 54 degree in the engage, which are the rusty ones. A little while ago, I got a, what are they called? Like a little
screw sharpener.
Like a wire wool brush.
Oh, yeah.
Took all the rust off them. I don't really know why I did that. But look at that head shape.
That is mega, that.
Dead square leading edge, which I love. I hate wedges with a rounded leading edge. Dead square leading edge.
Looks too straight to me. But like, I feel like I would dig that in the floor too much. But
oh, I adore it's... them. So I've got two of those. And I really do need to swap them. I said the grooves are pretty horrendous
now. What would you go with, wedges?
I feel like Vokies are a safe shout, but there's no wedge at the minute that I absolutely get drawn to. I'd love to just replace them. Possibly.
If you could get two brand new ones of those, would you?
Yeah, 100%. But the guy that worked for Nike called Mike Taylor, who was at the head club guy, he's got a brand called Artisan Golf.
Oh, yeah, you might have seen it. Well, I think he just put them in, Jason Day.
Yeah, well, it's all the old Nike people often.
And Patrick Reed.
Yeah. They look sick. Obviously, I'm going to get them, but I'd like them. Irons-wise, I've got T100s, wedge to three iron. Three iron's not really in the bag properly though. But with these, and I'm not a big shaft head, but I love this shaft. It's the Project X PXI 6.5, so it's extra stiff. But the light, I think they're about 118 grams. This is a bit nerdy, I know. But I feel like they're stable, but you can swing them quite fast. Grip-wise, I love having the same grip on everything. Multi-compound, Golf Pride.
Have you got that on all the clubs?
On every club. White and black, or black and white, whichever way. I don't know why, but I like having all the same grips and everything. It does make a difference to me.
Yeah, I'm not that bothered.
Then I've got, this is one of my favourite clubs again, one of yours, which you're definitely never getting this back. This is a 2-iron Mizuno MMC Fly High MP18. It's absolutely sick. Although it's a 2-iron, it's got a lot of chunk behind it.
Yeah, no, I remember. Yeah, it is nice.
Not too much chunk.
It just depends how you look at that club. Like you can, if you only focus your attention on the top line.
Yeah, you don't see the chunk.
You don't see the chunk. But then as soon as you start looking at the back, if you want a bit of confidence, then it's there.
Well, I absolutely love that. I use that a lot after tea. And then at the minute, the dilemma I've got is I've thrown an old Nike Hybrid in, which, again, I do like. Don't know how you'll feel about this one.
Yeah.
It just pings up in the air. It's the kind of club you put in and take out again.
I like the black head, black face. That's it.
That could go, but I like it. 3-wood. I've really tried hard to replace. I've actually got another 3-wood at home that's gone out the bag.
Didn't you have a Cobra one?
I got a Cobra one, took it out the bag. This one, again, looks minging. You'll hate this behind the ball. Old Nike Vapor. It's black. It's got your lime green on.
So it's just a bigger version of the Hybrid, isn't it?
Yeah, but off the face, feels dead fast. Love it. And then driver-wise, this might get replaced this year just for the sake. But Cobra Speed Zone, Extreme. Give him one, black and white. Well,
I'll take this one off you.
Yeah,
because it's the worst. That's the one I broke.
Love it. Behind the ball, very big head, very forgiving. But I don't know. I feel like I want to go for Ping this year. There's something about the new Pings that are.
I mean, obviously, a lot of people have seen the review. I didn't expect this year with the launch of TaylorMade, Callaway, Ping, Cobra, Titleist. That Ping are really holding their own in relation to like desire. Like people
There's
want it
about
they?
It this year, didn't they? I think it looked class in the black and the silver.
Yeah,
the playing colours.
So we're on the fifth hole now, par five, two par fives back to
back. This is where I drove you massively on this hole. Remember when we played? And the next one.
Oh, you did.
Oh, I did.
You did. Can you remember? I can't remember that many videos we filmed on this hole.
We don't often come over this part of the golf course very much.
The only one that really stands out.
Hello.
Is we filmed. We filmed part of the Pro V1 refurbished ball video on here.
Oh yeah.
And we also filmed a bit of the Honma golf ball video on here as well. But not. We don't film that much on this hole. It's quite a nice hole, but we've not done loads on it.
I think this podcast is coming out so far.
I think it's good. I like it.
I feel like I'm a little bit out of breath from walking. Not out of breath, it's hard work. Hard.
Whenever I've done Instagram stories and stuff while I've been doing my walks, people are going, you're out of breath. It's because, I'll be honest, I normally walk slightly faster than this. This is at a pace at 16:55 at the moment. So 16 minutes 55 per mile.
Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
That's pretty.
I'm normally closer to 15.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
When I walk. Because I've not got a camera, you know. Just head down and off I go. So we are a little bit slower than normal. So
I don't know how this is going to sound. The people obviously just listening to this, it's either going to come out quite easy listening, quite decent, or quite boring. Well, that's just a bonus.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a bonus. Do you want to see something else we've got in the bag, Rick? This is obviously very good for people listening, but I can talk you through it. So scorecard holders, you might think the kind of thing I would hate. In a sense, I do. But I also like nice ones. I feel like scorecard holders, you get the really cheap ones for like £2 in the pro shop. They're plasticky and they're ripped, they're easy. Or you get a nice one. This one is a leather one.
Nice.
Oh, it certainly looks like it's leather. It feels like it's leather.
Smell it?
Yeah, it smells leather-ish. Let's call it pleather. I'll meet you halfway. Inside, look at that. So I've got a little Nike swoosh, pencil holder, obviously scorecard holder, etc.
It just looks a fraction too big.
It is
as in wide.
Yeah, it is quite big. But if I ever play comps, not done for a little while, obviously a couple of years maybe now, it is nice to keep your scorecard in there.
If you literally had, I think the Tour Pros look pretty cool with them.
In the back pocket though, I never like that.
Oh, I like that. Like Bryson's one where it says bad his initials, and like Rory has a sick one, and you know, I do like them on Tour Pros because they have a lot more. It feels like they've got them for a reason.
You know, a weird thing I do with my scorecard, actually. Say if we're on the next hole now, which is a 6, isn't it? This is another par 5.
Most famous video we're filming this hole? Easy, this one. Easy.
Tall pole. Yeah. Swapping clubs with the world's tallest golfer at 7'7.5".
And you the funniest thing on this tee, so we filmed already with Paul. I can't remember how many holes we'd played, but we might have even played all 5. I can't remember the first 5 holes. I couldn't get his name right.
You kept calling him Paul Strudges.
The guy is 7'7". He's right next to me. And probably 5 or 6 times in a row I got his name wrong.
But you made his name hard. It's his name, simply. Paul Sturges. And you were calling him Paul Strudges.
And he's right next to me. I mean,
I reckon I've one more time been, you're getting lamped.
I've never been as intimidated in my life. If you ever watch that video back. And, I think we might have shot a different intro, actually, in the end. But, yeah... This is a par 5, dog leg round the corner, me and Paul swap clubs.
What I was going to say then, though, is I had this weird, thing. Well, say if we were playing this whole round of comp, right, and I got an 8 or a 9, I was going to be heartbroken. I think after it on the scorecard, as soon as the ball's in the hole, write it down, and it's done then. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I hate waiting a few holes in my scorecard, have to do it instantly and get it done, and then I can close the scorecard away, put it in the bag, and almost move on.
In the bag?
Yeah, I don't like it in my pocket.
Do you ever... I'm quite superstitious. I never marked my scorecard until everybody's finished the hole. I'd never, let's say, playing in the comp, there's 3 of you. I would never, even before other people had finished, I'd never mark my scorecard. One of them, maybe the reasons, because if you're marking someone else's scorecard, aren't you, really?
You've got to wait. Yeah, you've got to...
But I find it a bit superstitious, even if the guy I was marking had already finished, I'd have to wait for everyone else to finish. I was a bugger for forgetting putting it down on my scorecard.
Were you?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I'd have to, 9 holes go,
Oh, I hate that. What did you get on 4? I've got a little double bogey, mate. I told you 6 times. What did you get on 7? I got 12, lost my ball 6 times. I'd hate that.
Yeah, I was that guy. Tell me then, Guy. I don't know if people have ever heard this on the podcast. Did you ever have aspirations to be a player?
Yes, I was one of those naive children at the age of 15 or 5 who thought I was the next Tiger Woods. I did, but
I was the same.
What was quite good for me was I had a bit of a reality check, because as I was a junior golfer, I was at a golf club where there was a lot of good juniors, and I think we used to have team matches, and there was 6 of us in a team, and at one point every one of us was a single figure handicapper or better.
Yeah.
So it was a good standard. But what really kind of made me realise quite early on was the lad who I was a junior member with, a really good friend at the time called Paul Howard. He was always better than me, and he went on to go and play in the Open.
I think I've taught him before.
Royal Troon, he played at the Open. Really good player. He's not made it, he's kind of sacked off golf, I think, now. But he was always a lower handicap than me, he was the Lancashire setup and all that kind of stuff. And I always knew that he was better than me. I wasn't as good as him. And it doesn't mean I could never have got better than him, but I just knew he wasn't. So seeing him kind of made me realise. And then another friend of mine, Barry Taylor, who's a local teaching pro now, he was a very good player at like local regional level.
He's with loads of PJ stuff.
Oh yeah, he's a lot older than me. But he was a really good, he would play in the PJ Cup, was won countless pro-ams and local regional events and stuff and national stuff. And even he never got a PJ European Tour card or anything. Yeah. So I kind of, I think if I was the same level I was now at a golf club with that many juniors, sorry, a level I was then, let's say when I was 15, a golf club with that many juniors, I probably would have thought I was the next best thing.
Yeah. That's the trap I fell into a little bit. I was at a club where I was one of the best players, like, and I wasn't, in the grand scheme of things, you know, our scratch team probably had two single-figure handicappers.
Yeah.
So for me, I was like...
You were the, like, golden boy.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, and certainly when my mum was a player, I used to play a lot of golf with my mum, and she would hype me up a bit too much. And, like, it was at a time where I didn't really know what good looked like.
Yeah.
I hadn't ventured out that often. I hadn't played that many junior opens. And it was when I started playing in those junior opens and venturing out a bit more, I was like,
you realize,
oh, I am long way off this.
Well, I used to play in events that Tommy Fleetwood was playing in. And I was off like five at 15 or 16. I think he was off like Scrap, sponsored by Nike and stuff. And he was just streaks ahead. Yeah. It was just a different level. Another thing as well always kind of made me realise, you know the Faldo series, the junior like tour, if you like. I think you had to be, obviously it was a category, certain ages, so you had to have like a 9 handicap or 5 handicap depending on what age you were at. And I was always low enough to enter, but not low enough to actually make the buffer to get in. So I thought, well, if I can't even get into them events where you had Rory, Ollie Fisher, Tommy Fleetwood, all these boys killing it, I couldn't even get into it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But then again, you think, at 15, if you did spend the next 5 years absolutely grinding, how good could it have got? But you don't do in that age. You start the old cliche of going out and drinking and meeting bloody girls and all that stuff.
It's a big reality check for me as well when I went to college. So I went to Myerscough College in Preston. And again, I kind of was single figures. Can't quite remember what I was off, maybe 6 or 7. But again, I was going in there thinking I was Billy Big Balls. And I, first day, it was like handicaps went round and I was, you know, not even close to being top 10.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, wow. And I thought, that's all right. I've got 2 years. I can grind. I can get better. I got really good at drinking. I got really good at going out.
What was your tipple back then? What would your drink have been of choice?
Believe it or not, Boddington's.
Was it?
Yeah.
Is that trying to look hard?
I don't know. So a roommate of mine.
Boddington's?
I know, yeah. A roommate of mine, because I stayed in at college. I was only 16, like living away from home. But best days of my life, really. Living away from home, 2 years. Monday to Friday, I'd be away. It wasn't that far. It was only in Preston, so like an hour away from where I live. And the lad I shared with, a lad called Howard, he also kind of like bitter. He was a bit same age as me, but had a kind of wiser head on him, or to some degree wiser head. And he used to bring a crate of Boddington's on like a Sunday night, and we'd have supped it in no time. And then we used to go out to a nightclub in Preston. And before 10 o'clock, it was 50p a pint.
That's outrageous.
So we'd get in there at 9. I think that's when it opened, maybe 9 o'clock. And we used to, literally, like, for a fiver, you could buy 10 pints. So, like, loads of us, like, we'd get a big table, buy as many pints as we could for 50p a pint. And they tasted awful, like, horrendously bad. But it did the job. And by the time, like, you're on fourth pint, you know, at 16... I probably shouldn't have been in these nightclubs at 16, but I was. I'd sacked off the other pints and I was ready for the night, really, but I could go out on like a tenner.
Yeah.
It was the best.
I was very big at when I was like 18 or whatever, on the vodka Red Bull scene.
Oh, yeah.
It was, yeah, horrible drink, isn't it, really? Vodka and Red Bull mixed in. It must be horrendous for you. But I've never been a big drink. I've never been a big fan of pints and stuff. And have you ever watched In-Between Us?
Yeah.
There's a scene where Will says something like, doesn't a pint seem a lot? You wouldn't drink pint after pint of orange squash, would you? And it's true. And imagine if you had a pint of water now.
I know.
And then a half an hour later, another pint of water. Are you all right?
And if someone to the bar said, do you want another pint? Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm gasping for another pint. You wouldn't be, would you?
Like 6 pints of lager in a row.
Six glasses of water, like say 6 pints of water in a row would be hard enough.
Are you a cordial drinker?
Cordial?
Yeah. I don't really drink cordial.
No.
Brother does, I think.
Coffee. Water. I've gone way more into my water this year. And I still occasionally have a Diet Coke, but not nowhere near as often. I used to have a Diet Coke a day and cut back on the Monster and stuff.
I can't cut back on the Monster, really. One can a day is all I do now, which is still probably horrendous. But it's sugar-free, that's my only little caveat. But normally, though, people say... I think I told that story before, where I went to a shop once and literally bought one can of sugar-free Monster. And some fella went, "Oi, it's not good for you, that stuff, mate." And he walked out the shop smoking a spliff with a crate of lager on his shoulder. And it's like, come on, like, at least... You know, you're calling me out from one kind of sugar-free Monster, and you're doing that kind of stuff.
That's crazy. Well, yeah. So when I came out of college, I was 18, and I could have carried on at college. I could have actually done 5 years at college, but I think I would have been a mess. The 2 years, I was only 18. I felt like I'd got my rebellious kind of mode out the way, and I went into work. I got a job at Mia, which we've done some filming at in the past, and kind of got grafted into work. And then I remember, so I turned professional probably 6 months later, and again, I was only off like 3 or 4 handicap at the time. I remember playing in a local event again and thinking, come on, next couple of years, let's really grind it out. I just remember playing an event thinking I played really well, and I was just nowhere near like a decent score. And it's like professional golf at the highest level is so bloody hard. I think you only really like you kids who make it know they're going to make it, don't they?
Yeah, I think that's it. You never want to discourage people, and you do hear these amazing stories of a pull through turn pro off 4 and then make it.
Like Colin Montgomery, where he started playing golf when he was 18 or something. Stuff.
But in reality, I think if you're not. You've got to be much, much better than just being the best player at your club, haven't you? Like, you've got to be...
The best in the county, the best in the nation.
And that's the thing. And also, if you are, like, 14, 15, you're listening to this, obviously keep playing. You might hit 16 and all of a sudden be amazing. Enjoy it. Don't let it be your life, because if it doesn't turn out to be your career, you don't want to miss all those years where you are young and messing out with your friends and stuff just to play golf, if you end up regretting that,
exactly.
Maybe. Find a balance and enjoy it and try your best, but... Do other stuff as well, because golf's not the be-all and end-all. That's the problem I had as a kid. For me, golf was my be-all and end-all. Yeah. I remember going on holiday when I was about 12 for a week with my mum and dad. And I'll honestly be devastated that I was missing the week of junior comps. It was 3 comps I missed. I've been almost heartbroken. And it's like, you're on holiday? Yeah. Just a junior comp? Yeah. But that was my life.
Yeah, I used to find it really hard, like I said, when I was younger. And you'd have a bad round and it would get you down big time.
How's the cardio feeling?
All right. I feel like it's harder because I'm talking a lot. We've done 1.48 miles. We're currently on the 9th hole. Remember, we started on the 3rd. We've done 6 holes so far.
What are you thinking after your lunch? Are you going to go naughty because of this? Or are you going to keep it clean because you want a bit of a health
kit? I've been, honestly. So, start of the year, I've said it in the podcast in the past, I've been doing these workouts. I want to do 250 in the year, okay?
You're on track for that, Phil?
January, unbelievable. 22 workouts in 31 days. So that's a mixture of workouts at home, HIIT sessions, weight training sessions for the equipment that I've got, and then like 5 and 10K runs. So I needed to at least get probably 20 workouts in February done. Now, last Monday... I think I mentioned it to you after my first walk. I actually banged my knee in the kitchen.
Oh yeah.
And it's been kind of like niggling me a little bit. Not enough. I can still walk. I can still play golf at home and stuff and hit shots at home. But doing like reverse lunges and doing squats and doing goblet squats and all, like my left knee is real. I've had a bit of an issue with it in the past anyway. Long story short, I did a workout last Tuesday. And then I've done no workouts till today.
This but I morning, think these is a workout.
I've not been doing.
I would 4 miles with a golf bag on your back.
Yeah, I've not been doing. So
I think that's fair.
Possibly, yeah. Maybe that's where. If I don't quite hit my quota this month, I won't feel too bad because I would have walked. What's 4 times 28?
72. 132. No, 72. I'm thinking of 18.
132?
Something like that.
So I'd have walked 132 miles. So I won't feel too bad.
Yeah, but also, right, the other thing to think about, I don't know how many calories this is doing 4 miles at the back, but let's just say it's...
400, 500?
Yeah, 400, 500. But equally, say you didn't do this today, but you did a 300-calorie workout, you class that as a workout, but you're still doing this. You're still making a deficit.
Yeah, so I mean, this weekend I didn't eat great. Domino's on Friday.
Oh, I just...
Not at Domino's.
I like Domino's. We've had this discussion before, I think. I like Domino's, yes. It's just the price you pay for what you get. It's extortionate.
Yeah, it is. 55 quid.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
The two of you?
Two of us.
Oh, my God.
Mad that, innit?
55 quid? Yeah.
Two pizzas. Large.
Oh, my God.
Probably three sides. Two portions of cookies and a tub of ice cream.
But you could literally get from the Tesco for a tenner.
We weren't big.
Yeah, but...
I think where they've got you... Is oh it wasn't God. A planned it never feels like a planned Domino's, like it's always can't be asked cooking, let's order something.
Someone's had a podcast sponsored by Top Tracer recently.
What's that?
So someone's had a podcast sponsored by Top Tracer recently.
I felt like it was after like five or six days. I did that on Friday actually. 5 or 6 days doing this, I felt like I needed to treat myself.
No, I do like Domino's pizza. It's just like I said, it's just because when you have like a fillet steak, let's say it's 25 quid for a steak, it's ludicrous, but it's cooked to a way that I could never do at home. I could buy one for 7 or 8 quid, but with a pizza it's like, yes, Domino's is nice, wedges are effing shit. They're just like
this is like a behind the scenes like x-rated version. I think wedges are terrible,
soggy. I'm buying them from, I've seen that picture before, was it?
No.
Domino's employee at Till and Asda with like 12 packets of wedges.
No way. Wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, it's just... It's the speed. I think they're pretty quick.
It's delivery. Well.
I think I'd already had a couple of beers, so I couldn't go out and drive. But anyway, that's what... So I had a little bit of a spurge on Friday, and then I drank way too much wine this weekend.
Did you? You're very into wine, aren't you?
Yeah, two bottles. I didn't mean to either. I didn't, honestly. The problem with wine, this is the difference between me, like when I drink beer, there's two barriers that stop me drinking beer.
Can I try and guess one? The volume of liquid.
Okay, three barriers. There's three barriers that stop me.
The volume of liquid?
Yeah.
The taste after a while?
No,
potentially?
Tastes good. Tastes better after a while.
I don't know, go on.
Sounds ridiculous.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
After you finish a bottle or a can or whatever...
There's a lot of stuff.
You've got to go and get another one. You gotta go to the fridge, right?
Right.
Not a big deal, but if you're drinking a lot, you've then got to open the bottle.
Right.
And again, pain. So let's say I'm watching TV or I'm watching a film or whatever. You can't take multiple beers to the couch because they're gonna go warm. Now red wine, different story.
You don't have that cold, do you, red wine?
No, volume of liquid's not too bad. You can have it there with your glass on the couch watching whatever, Netflix, and without even needing to open the top, because you leave the top open. I'm not posh, I don't have corks, I have screw tops. Bang, straight back
in
the cup.
Throw a massive spanner in the works, though. I've got a massive, huge spanner here, right there. Throw it into the works. Your Invisalign and all that.
Yeah, I've taken that out.
Yeah, but isn't it going to damage your teeth?
Well, I don't think red wine's good for your teeth, no. But I brush my teeth a lot after red wine, probably twice. But yeah, that's me.
Well, I guess what? This is going to surprise you. I had a bottle of beer on Saturday.
That does surprise me.
So I'm not really a big drinker, and definitely not a big beer drinker. But we've been watching this programme, this documentary. It's not the best. About like couples who start a new life in the sun. So they go over to Spain or to Portugal, right, whatever. Open up for business.
A documentary or just a TV programme?
Like a TV programme. Yeah. It's on Channel 4.
Like mini documentaries.
Yeah.
Place in the sun.
It's not, well, yeah, but not that. It's the same thing. It's called New Life in the Sun. And there was this man, his wife, who moved to France and opened up a brewery. So he made like the new beers and stuff. And basically, they were obviously talking about this new beer and people were trying it and loving it. Oh, it's a lovely beer, it's this, it's that. And I sat there thinking, I don't like beer particularly, really. I don't think I do anyway. But I fancy trying another beer. So I went to the shop and I got this bottle of Bud and it was 660ml. So it's two,
it's like
small
a big
bottles,
bot.
Yeah.
Like
a, yeah. And a screw cap, just quite enjoyed that. It's quite novel. And I borderline enjoyed it. It was actually all right.
What, have you never liked the taste or something?
Never liked the taste of beer. I remember when I was like at the age where you started going out and drinking, and it's still very much the Alka-Pop scene then.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was always my tip.
Like Cardi Breezers.
Yeah, you're three WKDs. For a fivers, get a pint glass, lash them in.
Hooch.
That was just before my time, Hooch. I'm talking Bacardi Breezer, Smirnoff Ice, Wicked, VK, which is a fake Wicked.
I really like if Americans listen to this, they'd be like, what the hell are they talking about?
Yeah, it's basically
about?
Like fizzy drinks, but alcoholic.
Alka-Pops.
And then it was very much the vodka scene. I also had the cider scene at uni as well. You're getting like a white light and putting like...
Oh yeah, when I was young.
I genuinely don't like the taste of lager. But I think it's one of those things where if you've never really tasted it much, you never grow to like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like it. It's just a slight pain in the arse when... But then I wouldn't massively order a red wine if I went out to a pub.
How can you have a little red wine tipple?
Yeah, but as in like, if I was out with the lads, obviously that's not happening at the moment, but I wouldn't really order a red wine because it goes too quick.
And I see you being red wine after like 4 or 5 pints. 100%. You worm your way into the red 100%. Wine. YouTube golf day, you're red wine, I feel like.
100%. Yeah. And weirdly, I don't feel as bad after it in the day after.
I was pretty hangover after
YouTube golf day, to be fair, though.
You don't get too bad a hangover.
No, do you remember I ordered that pizza and ate none of it?
Oh, yeah.
I ordered a goat's cheese and caramelised onion pizza and ate zero. So now we're on the 11th.
This is a famous hole.
Par 3 up the hill. Just a quick one, last 10th hole that we just walked down. Most famous video we filmed on there. Again, not a hole we've used very often.
Ooh. Left-handed irons?
Correct.
Not
left-handed,
left-handed
just left-handed,
golf.
Yeah. When I played left-handed for the 1 million special. Started off with a quadruple bogey, was it, or something?
Also, just to add, it's been snowing pretty much the whole time we're walking, only slightly.
Yeah.
But your hat's got a few granules on it.
Yeah, it has. It's 11th hole here, par 3 up the hill. Start a lot of videos here just because we've done 2 miles now.
Have we?
Start a lot of videos up here because it's quieter part of the golf course. So if we get out here early, we can start on 11. Might hear a bit of road noise in a minute, but...
I think people are still listening to the podcast at this point.
I think, why would you not?
Well, I would. I am. I'm listening back to it now in the car, nodding along to myself, going, yeah, I'm listening to it, guy. Good podcast, mate. Cheers, guy. Nice one, mate. Rate 5 stars, of course I will, mate. No worries. I really do want to start playing more golf when we can.
Would you join a club again?
Well, Marriott are very kindly let us use it here.
Oh, yeah.
I do like it here. But the only thing with here is, it's about 25 minutes away from my house, which is easily commutable.
It's working it for you.
It feels a bit, well, it does, but that's what I don't mean that in a bad way, because obviously, it's just that for me, 3 or 4 times a week, I don't know if I'm going to spend a weekend here, as good as the course is. But also, it's not even like we work inside, we work on the golf course, don't we? I don't know, maybe in the future, next 5 years or so, I might join, possibly, one of the really fresh links courses on the coast.
Yeah.
Because I'm not far from all that kind
of stuff.
You're
not at all. You're really close.
Your Birkdales, your SNAs, your Hillsides, West Lancs.
Like if you were from Hillside, what, like 25 minutes?
Yeah, something like that. You know, weirdly though, I know it's a completely different kettle of fish, but I'm only about 20 minutes from the Mere.
Yeah.
But it's just, for how much those places cost and how much I play, it's not worth it. Yeah. But if I got properly back into it, I would debate it.
And what are you doing it for?
I like...
Get a handicap?
Bit of that, but I think less of that I'm happy about, because I've realised now that that's not the be-all and end-all. I just like playing golf.
Yeah.
Do you remember a couple of years ago I was doing it 9 before 9?
Yeah, God, you were.
So I played 9 holes before 9 o'clock and then go to work. And I really got into it. I loved it.
It is getting lighter in the morning already as well. It's like 7 o'clock. It's getting lighter.
There's a man on his bike here doing... Well, he's off his bike doing laps around the tee. So enough.
Do you think golf should be shut right now?
Do I do? Well, so, two schools of thought. Are two people, if that's what it would be, out on the golf course, is it any difference to two people walking on a walk, which is allowed? Possibly not.
Oh, yeah.
It's just more the fact that, at the minute, the message still is stay at home.
Yeah.
Unless it's essential travel, isn't it? So is it essential to be playing golf? Possibly not. And it's like, this is super hypothetical, but if there's more cars on the road, is going to be more accidents, which then leads to the NHS being busier.
Yeah.
I know all that's not really the case. But
it's hard to measure, but still.
It is. It's, I don't know, I think. And then where do you draw the line at? I know like, fishing's allowed at the minute.
Yeah.
Well, why is that allowed and not golf? But then it's like, well, if golf's allowed, why is tennis not allowed, for example? Yeah. And if tennis is not allowed, well, I don't know. So it's...
I do think hard, if you put a blanket cover on outdoor individual sports, you could make it work.
Yeah.
Because you can't even just put outdoor sports on, because then football would be allowed. And I'm not sure 22 people running around the field touching each other is the best thing. If it's an individual sport, I mean, we're in like a work bubble kind of anyway, so we work together so we can, you know, we can be a little bit more easy with it. We don't have to be as quite as over the top, if that's the right wording or whatever, but it's like, I think it should be open personally. I just think you could limit it to two people, to one person. Go out on your own and play or something, or have 5 minute intervals and play on your own or whatever it may be. But you're like you're right, it's the amount of people that are coming to the golf course is probably the biggest
thing. I think
concern.
It's just for me, and again, I'm not pro or against it. I think it's the fact that at the minute the message is maybe stay at home, unless you can't work from home. So then it would blur the lines. But actually, yeah, you can go and play golf.
Yeah.
And that's what you say about fishing. It's a bit of, why can you go and fish at the minute if you're staying at home?
Yeah.
So I don't know. But hopefully, from what they're saying in the newspapers, etc., they want the schools to be back in March. 8th of March is it. And after that, they're going to look at possibly like golf. So we'll see.
I must admit that a lot of people listening will be doing this as well. Like, homeschooling is bloody hard. Like,
oh, God, I can imagine. Well, I can't imagine, really.
Obviously, I've got 3 kids. I mean, my wife does an amazing job. She used to be a school teacher, but she'd rather teach 30 strangers than our three at the moment. Well, actually, only 2 of them are in education. The little boy's still too young, but they're not enjoying it. Like, it's all on Teams. It's all done, you know, electronically. It's not the best learning environment in the world. And it's a lot. Like, they're doing, like, 4 or 5 hours a day. And I know they'd be doing more in school, but in school it's more interactive. Like, this is 4 or 5 hours either worksheets or laptops or whatever it may be. So I think in the UK a lot of parents listening to the podcast will relate to how tough that's been at the moment. Homeschooling's been a pain in the ass. I've been taking them in the garage a few times doing PE, letting them do golf.
So I'm not working out recently. I become a PE teacher now.
I'm not sure which one of my kids is going to take golf most, get into it most. Ivy, my eldest, has been the the standout at the moment who's shown the most interest. But it'll be interesting to see if my youngest daughter or my son kind of really picks up on it. I think they'll all be involved. And I'm not one bit like after watching that Tiger documentary. I'm certainly not going to Earl Woods them and force them into it.
But you know what's weird with golf though? Like, I kind of grew up with golf. But equally, I can understand how as a youngster, if your parents play, you could either fall in love with it naturally and it always becomes second nature, or hate it.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, you're walking around the field hitting a ball with a stick, aren't you really?
Yeah.
Like, that either excites you or it doesn't. And I think, obviously, kids should all try to have an option, have a try. Because I think it does give you a lot of valuable life lessons, golf, I would say. I think it does make you be very honest and stuff and manners. And a lot of the time, you can converse with adults a lot better.
Way better.
As your junior organiser, the club pro, the manager of the golf club, the bar staff, etc. Yeah. From an early age.
The elder members that you play
exactly,
with.
Exactly, all that kind of stuff. But equally, even as I've got older, I've started to get bored of 18 holes.
Yeah.
Like, it's long, isn't it?
It's long. I mean, we're only walking it today, it's pretty long.
But then equally, on the other side of the coin, I challenge anybody. So imagine if you've got Tiger Woods on the 18th at Augusta with a 6-foot putt, and if he holes it, he's won. If he misses it, he's not. That's exciting, isn't it? Yeah. You can't not get excited by that. But it's just that it takes 4 days to get to that point. So it's a hard one, isn't it?
How are you finding the walk so far?
Easy in a sense of actually doing it, but trying to talk and not sound out of breath is quite difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, really hard. What's the what about the bagger on your back?
I must admit, a lot better than I was expecting, because I thought after a hole or two I'd be dying to put it down. It's not too bad, but equally I'm quite looking forward to taking it off. Do you think this lockdown has been more difficult than the other one?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I do. And the main reason, weather.
Yeah.
For me, for my kind of setup at home, it's just more the stir crazy, like not being able to go and do something.
Yeah.
Like, at least in the summer, or last lockdown, March, April time, we had amazing weather. Go out in the garden, go out for walks. Because even walks at the moment, obviously I'm doing this now, and it is fairly easy, I just stick my boots on and go, but going out with the kids walking, not getting wrapped up, coats on, shoes on, or wellies or whatever. And when you get home, you've got to clean everything. And so it's like, that's the bit that's slightly harder for me. The one thing, it does feel different this time. It doesn't feel like everybody is in lockdown this time.
Yeah.
Where last time it felt like everybody was in lockdown, didn't it?
The first lockdown, if you remember, live sport was cancelled.
Yeah.
Now, not that that's a massive issue, but it made it feel almost more real,
like a ghost town.
Yeah,
isn't it?
All the TV programs were just like running repeats and stuff because they weren't getting filmed. I know that sounds silly, but it just felt almost, I don't know, but it's a tough time for everybody, isn't it? And I think another thing, obviously, to touch on in the podcast, I've had so many emails off people who say, like, thanks so much for the podcast, it really helps during lockdown, or I've binged them all and stuff, and that's obviously amazing. But also, we obviously don't want to be negative in the podcast, but I don't ever want anyone to think that, well, this we're all chipper, and that's how we are all the time, because I'm definitely not. I have times I feel like worked up or feeling down, but obviously when you're doing the podcast, you put on a bit of a front because you want it to be good for other people. Yeah. So, like, if anyone's listening to this thinking, oh, those two are always happy or anything like that, then it's definitely not the case.
No. For me, it's been more like there's nothing to look forward to.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I hate about it all. Like, it's not like I've got a holiday to look forward to, or, you know, a night out I'm planning with my friends or family, or, you know, there's nothing to get excited about, which is the biggest, you know, probably the biggest thing. Like, I remember asking you on a Monday, I'd ring you on the Monday morning, what have you been up to, guy? And you'd like, reel off 10 things, and I'd reel off a load of things. It's like, and now it's like, I don't even ask.
Because there's nothing to say, like, is there,
What could you have done? Like,
gone for walks, that's about it.
Like, there's nothing to actually do. You talk about what's been on TV or whatever.
But weirdly, though, the way I'm looking at the minute is, I'm trying to always use that as a positive and think, actually, this is only short-term, fingers crossed. All that's going to come back. There'll be golf, they'll be going out for meals, they'll be seeing friends, going on holidays. Like, surely, you know, after the vaccinations rolled out and all that stuff, we'll be in a better place, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm not... Like I say, have you seen the vaccinations now in the UK? They've done like 12 million people.
Yeah.
So, what I don't... And again, you might not know the answer, but... So those 12 million people have been vaccinated, the first vaccination.
Yeah.
Do they take priority now over more new people being vaccinated?
No, I think they've got... They want to try and get these up to the age of 50, I think, vaccinated. And then I think possibly the second one. I think they want to do it within 3 months of the first one, I think. I'm not fully clued up, but...
So they're going to do a massive, let's say 20 million.
Well, even more than that, but yeah.
And then 3 months, start again with that 20 million.
Yeah, I think what they're saying essentially is that the first dose gives you X amount of percentage, if you like, and obviously the second one tops up to 90-odd, let's just say. But they were thinking if they get more people to have at least some level of protection, it should help to slow down the spread and whatever, but...
It is mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, the amount of times that me and Claire have said that to each other, like, it's just mad. Like, the world isn't what it used to be. What's it going to be like when things go back to somewhat of a normal?
I think the thing is, though, I think it happens slowly. So you don't. It's not like it's like Monday the 1st of March, whatever.
Yeah.
It's life's normal. It's slow, isn't it? So schools go back. So that becomes kind of hopefully just a normal. There might be some things in place, that you wear a mask when you get your children or something, but then it'd be like, bars might reopen in, let's say, June, but it might be the fact that you have to, again, rule of six.
No alcohol.
Yeah. It'll just be slowly but surely, won't it? It's like in the summer just had, a lot more stuff went normal again, but you didn't really think about it, did you? Just kind of felt normal then, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, question we had on the last podcast, I didn't get time to cover. It was a guy, I can't remember his name, so I'm doing a bit of a disservice. I think it was Andy, but I'm not too sure. And he basically said that he is like a nomadic golfer, so he plays at all different courses, not a member anywhere. And he's always quite keen to obviously either call ahead or look online at the dress code and make sure that obviously he's not going to rock up and get turned away or embarrassed or whatever. But one of the things he said is that now golf shoes are becoming so much more like a trainer, which they are.
Yeah.
So the Nike, Puma, Adidas are kind of driving that. That he's always kind of quite apprehensive that he's going to turn up somewhere with a pair of those style shoes on. And if it's a older club or something, it might turn him away because they think they are a trainer.
Yeah.
And then that got me thinking as well that a lot of these now, I mean, I've got a pair of like Puma ones now that basically are a trainer. But at what point do they actually just become a trainer?
Yeah.
And is there going to be a point where, I don't know, do you know what I mean? What do you think?
Well, there's definitely, there's a thin... tread, pardon the pun, between trainers and golf shoes now, and that's the only difference. The sole of a golf shoe is the only difference. It's not as if, you know, I wore those Nike Air Max ones loads.
Well, even waterproof are they most of those?
And it's not like they support your ankle any more than a normal trainer. It's not like they do anything different. It's just that the sole is typically heavier. So, I know that's what you said when I had that Nike Air Max 97s.
Yeah.
And you picked them up and went, oh my God, they're so heavy. Because they are compared to a trainer because of the sole and the extra grip that they've applied. But you're right, it's very, very, very light on the cuff of being just a trainer now, isn't it?
Well, that's it. And you kind of think, is there any point in buying them? Can you just wear a trainer?
To answer his question about going to... nice places.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, are you okay? To answer his question about going to nice places, I must admit, I probably always kind of ride on the air of caution in the fact
that... Take a spare pair.
Pardon?
Like take a more smart pair as well.
Yeah, I probably, you know, if I know I'm going somewhere really posh, I probably wouldn't wear the golf shoes that, you know, may get pulled. I might go a little bit more of a sensible choice, potentially. I'm not saying that's right or wrong, you know, I don't... I just do it because either I'm there for work and I can't afford not to, you know, be making videos or whatever it may be, but...
How far have we done now, by the way, in miles?
3 miles.
Three miles, so we've got one left.
We're on the... Oh, we've missed all the famous holes. 13, 14, we're on 15 now.
This looks a nice 14, approach
14, we could have
peeled
off 15, the videos we filmed on there. You know, this is 15, dogleg left, par 4. Yeah, and I'm not sure. It's tricky, really, isn't it? So I know I've been to golf courses in the past that have sold in the clubhouse or in the pro shop items of clothing that are not actually allowed to be used out on the golf course.
Your standard round neck Hugo Boss top, not that gear.
Or even like actual what's seen as golf gear, so not even off course fashion, actual gear that's designed to be on the golf course to play.
Yeah.
Yet the club rules don't allow it to be used at that said golf course. I'm not sure. I do like dressing like a golfer.
Yeah.
Personally, yeah. But I understand people who would rather just not go. I don't know. But no, then what is dressing as a golfer
well,
these days?
If someone said, this is silly now, I always think to myself, what would I want to wear and have in a bag and everything? If someone said to me now, go and play 18 holes, it really matters for whatever, you're going to get your mortgage paid. Or you know what I mean? There's something on it that really matters. And if that was the case, I would play in golf trousers, tucked in with a belt. I'd wear spiked shoes because, like you said, it makes you feel like a golfer. Yeah. So I know what you mean. I think it's certainly for us who've grown up in that kind of era where it all is dress code and a smart polo and slacks and all that gear. But I don't know, does it actually help performance, like wearing a pair of pants over a jogger bottom or something? It doesn't, does it?
Yeah. You just want clothes that are, you can move in, that, you know, that give you flexibility, that give you warmth, that gives you everything you need to perform. How it looks after that is kind of just down to your own individual style. But like I say, it's unfortunately governed quite a lot by rules of golf and stuff.
Well, do you remember when Nike tried to push the tights?
Yeah.
A few years ago, I had an event in London with Tommy Fleetwood, and I've got a picture, he wore like golf shorts, it was like a plain black, like chino-y, stretchy style shorts, with literally like legging tights underneath. And they were really trying to push this new kind of modern golf athlete, and that was how athletes in golf would now dress going forward. And obviously he wore it for that event and never wore it on tour, and it kind of quite quickly just vanished. So brands have tried to make it a little bit more sporty.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know, it's weird. I wouldn't be surprised if in 5 or 10 years the golfers on tour are dressed completely different.
Yeah. It seems like tour athletes definitely get away with more.
Yeah.
Like, as in some of the golf courses that they play, obviously like the best golf courses, I can imagine some of the, you wouldn't actually be allowed to wear what they wear. If you just went and pitched up and played.
Do you remember when Poulter wore the Arsenal shirt?
Oh, yeah.
He wore the burgundy Arsenal shirt when he was, I think he was out of contract with like Tightly Store FootJoy at the time. Or Lindenberg, whatever it was, in the proper Poulter era, visors and his blonde hair through and all that. And he wore a proper Arsenal shirt for a tournament.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, it was, to be fair, it was one that had a collar on it at the time. But obviously, if you went to that, I can't remember what the course was, but if you went to there in an Arsenal shirt, there's no way they let you on, would they?
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's even like the trainers or the style of socks that they wear, or there's so many daft rules. What new videos have we got coming up, Guy?
We've got a good one about the new 2021 Titleist Pro V1.
Which should be out now already.
Versus the Strixon Z-Star 2021. And we were kind of inspired as such, because when Titleist bring out a new ball, and certainly the Pro V1, it's very hard to firstly test it, because you're talking absolute marginal gains to no gains, if there is any anyway. So that's very difficult. Titleist obviously don't want to change it too much because
what people have become accustomed
to. Let's view it as the Pro V1 is Titleist's biggest and best product. It's like your favourite restaurant having a signature dish, isn't it?
It's like, best comparison ever.
Go on.
Heinz baked beans.
Yes, exactly. Which we talked about in the last episode. You can't change the baked bean. The humble baked bean is what it is. You can make a low-salt version that's there for people health-conscious or whatever. But you don't want to change the formula. So, Pro V1 can't change much. But obviously there's new Strixon Z-Star as well, which I know are good balls. I used them a little while ago, probably about 6 years ago. Maybe a bit more, actually, now 7 years ago, whatever it was. In American Golf, and I was working there. They were on staff discount. They were about 35 quid a dozen. But for whatever reason, we got them up 20 quid. So I bought some and they were really good, just like a Pro V1. Again, I prefer just, if you give me for free, I'll have the Pro V1s just because the Pro V1s, but just as good. So this video is a test between the two. As you said, it's been out probably already now, people have seen it or whatever.
And then we've got, well,
some more coaching.
More coaching videos, TP5, TaylorMade TP5 balls, I might test them as well. Mizuno drivers.
Drivers that you've bought, so if it's come yet.
Driver I've still not come. I bought from a brand that is
extreme.
Yeah, nice. So that's gonna come up soon as well. It's just like say we kinda somewhat still obviously keen on making content. We wanna make fun, entertaining, educational content. So lots of people still around the world are playing golf. Just like I say, we're just desperate for everybody to be playing golf again because, you know, England, Wales, Ireland currently aren't, obviously, so it's like, that would be amazing. And, you know, golf courses, it'd be good to get them back open.
I think we're seeing a little bit of a dip. Obviously, it's like an internal thing, but with, like, casual golfers, you know, viewing videos, so people aren't hardcore super golfers, but that watch golf videos occasionally. There's no reason for them to be watching golf at the minute. Is that they can't play golf. They can't get onto the golf course. They've got no interest. So hopefully, in March, April, May time, those people will come back, enjoy watching golf stuff. Maybe the Masters might help out as well, get the casual back in.
Picks for majors this year. I don't think I've ever gotten right. I think we did it last year in the office, but never checked them again.
I feel like I'm so far out of the tour golf scene to know, but... You can't go past much like the top guys, can
no.
you? Your Dustins, your Brooks. Obviously, both won last weekend.
I honestly can see a Dustin Johnson domination for a few
years.
I just think he's...
What was he so good at last weekend? I didn't watch any of it.
You know what it was? And it sounds ridiculous. It's temperament.
Really?
He even said it himself. He hit a lot of really bad shots. But all he does, he goes up there, finds it. Hits it again. Yeah. He topped a shot.
Did he?
He topped an iron. Wow. And when I say he was going for the green on a par 5, long iron in hand. He topped it, fatted it completely, and it went, I don't know how far it went, in fairness, about 100 yards or whatever. I mean, how much of it, like, he's in the tournament, it's second, like, Saturday of the tournament, and then, pitched it to 3 foot, knocked in for birdie.
That's the thing, though. If you are on these elite players, you know that every part of your game's fire. So if you do miss the green, if it's a drivable par 4 and you miss the green in the thick rough, you're still probably going to put it close. And even if you don't put that close, you're still going to probably hold the putt because you're bad at putting. It's like there's almost less to worry about because every aspect's so tidy.
Yeah.
They can recover from anything.
I just think he's absolutely awesome. I really do. I've really, you know, in the last few months, even watching the highlights from this weekend, it's just the way he plays golf is so, like, it's not exciting, granted. Hello.
Hello.
It's not going to get loads of new people into golf, you know, like Tiger did in the day. But the way he just puts a round together, a tournament together, he's always up there. Like,
yeah.
I think he's going to do really well.
I do, I say this a lot, I do kind of want to get more into watching the golf and stuff. I've got Sky, I have Now TV, so I can watch it on my TV, on my phone, etc. I don't watch
much of it live, though.
Well, yeah, I just watch the clips on
I just watch clips. I just constantly, Twitter, Instagram, go on the PGA Tour or European Tour, and just watch clips. Because then I feel like I've, and then every now and again they'll put a highlight reel on.
I like them. They're good.
So that I can just, I know what I need to, you know, say.
What are we on now?
Right, we're on 3.6 miles and we've got a 500 yard par 5 left.
Nice.
So should be bang on. Found it all right?
Yeah, I need a toilet a bit. I must admit, actually, the bag, truthfully, isn't that as bad as I thought it was going to be. It's not obviously particularly pleasant, but it's, because I was thinking, I said to you before, if me and you were playing golf, and we both went down the first night, one left out in the trees, and we were looking for 3 minutes for a ball. My bag gets quite heavy.
Yeah. It definitely, over this last week, it's definitely kind of hurt my shoulders a little bit and hurt my back.
Yeah.
But nothing that's not kind of manageable. It's weird, it's snowing, yet it's beautiful sunshine. So, last hole, 18th hole here at the Marriott. You've heard me say that statement along many times. Most famous video we filmed on here.
I'd say fake driver.
Nice. Yeah, I would. And I bought the M5, what was it, M6?
It was the fake TaylorMade M5.
Six.
Oh.
Can't remember that. I think it was non-adjustable. It was M6.
Yeah.
From, sounds weird saying that now, M6.
I know.
From Wish, and it basically broke. a bit of a water feature on the path. It has proper rained recently. This is why I wore the boots.
Yeah, I realise now. Last thing then, we started the podcast just over a year ago now. A bit of a... I'll be honest now, we said to some degree because everyone was doing one, we thought, let's try it. Let's see what it's like a bit.
Well, I reckon there was two main reasons. I'm not sure if this was the year before. So, Eric Anders Lang, I went on his.
Yeah.
I was always a big fan of Eric's podcast. Went on his when we were in the Isle of Man. And thoroughly enjoyed the actual being on a podcast.
The chatting.
Just the chatting.
Long form.
Not
some
too,
children
not
screaming,
too
by the way.
Structure.
On scooters, yeah. So just...
Some kids whizzing past. And you know what it was? It was actually also seeing, to some degree, the setup is fairly easy.
Yeah.
Like, once I bought the equipment, it was fairly easy. So the one thing that I wanted to try and do kind of last year was to get one going up on a regular basis and to have someone to chat to. And obviously, you were perfect for that. Have you enjoyed doing it?
I love it.
Have you ever listened back to, like, first versions now?
I must admit, I used to listen back to every episode in the car or whatever. And that wasn't for, like a vanity reason. Just to hear, it's good to hear how the viewer, the listeners hear it, obviously. But recently, I've stopped listening back to them as much. But I've enjoyed it. I think there's obviously quite a good community. A lot of them involved in the Facebook page and stuff. Obviously, a lot of people aren't on Facebook as well. Getting loads of emails to do. Honestly, reply to as many as we can. The amount of ratings we've had on Apple, and again, we joke about that, but the amount of people that have rated the podcast and stuff, it's ridiculous. Certainly in the UK, there's not many podcasts with a higher amount of rating, certainly in the sports world.
That's mad, that.
But I think it is the kind of... I sometimes worry that it's a bit too rough, it's a bit too... But if people like it, I think, don't they? And if you don't like it, that's fine. You wouldn't be listening this far in to us walking around an empty golf course, so...
I think the what it's allowed us to do... another water feature I'm walking through. It served its purpose almost perfectly. In the fact that... I certainly wanted a platform where I could... talk openly without really too much structure, without really any kind of need for it to be short or whatever it may be.
Yeah,
you know, we could address things that happened either positively or negatively. We could inform people of what's coming up, you know, and really build kind of this community almost like a behind the scenes more, you know, and it has stood up on its own and become its own kind of viable, you know, platform. And, you know, it doesn't feel like it's a what's the right word? I think for a period of time it still felt like a burden.
Yeah, to do the podcast.
To do it, do you know what I mean? Where now it doesn't. Like, it's still not perfect yet. I still like to get us a proper podcast studio where everything's set up. We've got mega microphones and a really good way of filming it, which we might have had if not all this had happened potentially already. But I think that's kind of the next stage to it, which to the viewer, they might not really notice any different, maybe bar better sound quality or whatever it may be, but certainly making more little video clips. Like, sometimes would like to talk about topics that maybe weren't just solely on the podcast. I'd like to have more guests on as well.
Yeah. The only thing I think with guests is they seem to be people's favourite episodes. That's great. And some of the guests we've had have been fantastic. But they're often quite different to this, aren't they? Which is fine. And it's almost like, if you're a weekly listener, because you like this random chat, and there's a guest on, it's quite formal, it might be different. And equally, if you prefer guests, and you choose... So, it'd almost be good to have, like, a structure with, like, certain episodes every now and again were guests. Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe it's like a bonus episode, but who knows?
Yeah, but I definitely think so.
Have we hit the magic number yet?
Not yet.
But we are
5 short.
Flipping heck.
How many yards are in a mile?
I don't know. I always thought it was 1,000, but it's not. I don't think it's...
We'll carry on walking around the putting green.
I'm not too sure. I've enjoyed it.
Thanks for joining me today.
It's all right. Well, you told me I had to, so I didn't have a choice in the matter.
I'm going to do one with my mum tomorrow.
Oh, are you? That'll be nice.
Which would be a bit weird. I don't think she's not going to bring a golf club. She's just going to walk it.
Harry, yours? You've done all this graft.
That's true. So, guys, thanks so much for supporting the charity so far. Like I say, 26,000 raised so far. I'd love to get up to 30 by next week. We'll keep updating on the podcast. Hopefully you've enjoyed this little bonus episode.
Can we go that way, sorry? Cuff.
Go left, yeah, we can go left. We'll go 0.2 of a mile left.
Is that what we've got still?
Only 0.2. Like 0.2.
Oh, yeah.
But... like 3.98 now.
Oh, right, okay.
3.99. Any last words?
I need a toilet. There's a good bush over there, so I'm joking. No, it's good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. And that is the 4 miles done. Let's take a selfie. Let's finish it off. Thanks for watching, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next Monday.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.